Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
You know, every time I'm in a conference or retreat or a church service, and every time I hear somebody mention the word intimacy, like Felicia did on occasion this morning, which is a good word. It's a great word. I believe there's intimacy with the Lord. But I can't help myself as I'm focusing on the Lord and I hear this, I just start to think of all the men in the service or in the meeting that, you know, that word still goes against their grain by which they were raised by, you know, Neanderthals. You know, because I was kind of raised by one, you know, not that my dad's a Neanderthal, but it was just kind of a, what I mean by that is, you know, tough guy, don't cry, I love you too, you know, and showed us how he loved us by how he lived, how he provided, things like that. Of course, my dad has been softened and changed over the years by the Lord, and probably by age a little bit, but his transformation started prior to him getting old, and that's just what the Lord did. So I always get a little aware that there are men in the room who maybe they've been in church for a long time and the word intimacy comes and goes and doesn't bother them, but maybe you're here and you hear that word and it's like, church, Christianity, it's for all these soft guys and all this. Listen, I got to tell you one of the images that come to mind when I hear the word intimacy. It's a locker room. And let me explain to you. Okay? It's not about guys walking around in towels. It's about guys banging their heads on lockers, spitting more blood, pouring out more sweat, and putting your hand in the center with every other team member who you've hit, who you've taken hits from, who you've stole the ball from, who have beat you after the whistle, who's grabbed your face mask, who's grabbed your jersey when they got past you going for a breakaway, who you have slid across the floor with and left more skin there than you left anywhere else. And you're in that locker room, and you know each other's secrets. You have helped one another with homework. You have hung out in a social group. You have protected them. You've watched over their girlfriends. I didn't say stole their girlfriends. I said watched over them. You put your hands in the middle, and you're looking down, and you see taped up, busted up fingers like your own. You see the legs and the feet of the guys who've dug deep. And you're about to go out into the battle. Well, that's kind of, it depends on your mentality about sports, you know. For me, that, you know, it's the Coliseum. It's the arena. It's the pit. It's the sand pit. It's whatever you call it. Okay? And you have done all this together. And on three, you know, you shout your team's name. Knowing that you're going to go out there and you're going to spend it. Going to give it all. And if one of your members gets taken advantage of, even if it's the guy that you have argued with and you personally you don't care for on your team, when your opponent takes advantage of them, you do not carry some personal pleasure. because you're a team. And so when I hear intimacy, these are the images that I get about in the locker room with the Lord. And he has seen my practice. He has seen where I slacked off. He has seen where I've spent it. He's seen what's hindered me. He knows my limitations. And he's called me to something higher. And it's a place where you're going to be honest. Because I'll tell you what, when you live with guys or a team in practice and out of practice, there's no secrets. You know who's worked hard and who hasn't. You know who you need to pick up. You know you need to. You know the person you need to motivate. You got to take correction from the captain. You got to swallow your pride. And when you get your bell rung, your mommy ain't coming. And I'll tell you why. Because nobody's calling her. See, to me, that's a whole nother perspective on intimacy. And it's not to rob from the beautiful presence and the wooing song and the wooing of intimacy and love. But I'm going to tell you something. In that locker room and in that brotherhood, there's a love. And it's keeping track of that stuff. As the family of God. And so when I hear that word this morning, if you're a man in this place, and you hear that word, and you go, oh, yeah, the church, you know, woo, woo, and yeah, all the fluffy, fluffy. It ain't so. Because he spilt his blood. And it's based upon his crucifixion. A man who laid down his life for a friend. The lineman who will lay himself out for his friend who's carrying the ball, who he wants to get into that end zone. The guy who is going to stand there and, I mean, stick the defense. I mean, he's going to put a pickup that he knows this defender does not see as the guard is coming by, and he knows he's got to hold his spot. And he's going to take it full tilt from the defender who has a running start. And you don't have equipment on. Listen, I'll just tell you, I've spilt more blood on basketball courts than I ever did on a football field. It's just the truth. I'm not saying it's rougher or tougher. I'm just telling you, spilt way more blood. That, my friend, is intimacy. You won't find that in a dictionary. You're just going to find it in life, in the experience of life, and what you will spill for one another as husband and wife, as friend, as a Christian brother or sister, and maybe just simply as a stranger to someone else who's in need because you hold to a conviction of the one who did it for you. See, in that is the power, a key. The key of love, the key of laying down our life for somebody else because Christ did it for us. Did you ever lose one of these? Some of you are panicking and looking at your purse right now. Oh my goodness, is that mine? That looks like mine from here. It's not. This one is mine. And by the way, this is the one that I cannot lose because it is the only one to that car. It's the only one that came with the car. Well, why don't you just go get another one made? Well, it's one of those things that have the chip in it. So it's not like going and spending $3. Mike, what do these cost? $130? $30? Oh, that's all? I thought they were more expensive. I thought people told me they were more expensive. Oh, so I could send, but I had to send it to like GM, right?
No, you can go to any GM garage.
Any GM garage. And they order me one for $30. Okay, I'm getting one. I thought they were like hundreds of dollars. And those of you who are listening to the podcast, I'm talking to Mike Oswald. He was like the top, you know, technician for GM in the United States and across the nation. And if you would like his number, it is... No, I'm kidding. It's only $30. So when they tell me it's more, I can say, no, that's not right.
You can use my name.
I could use your name. Well, when it's the only key you have, you are extra careful. Okay? Now, I know some of you are driving newer cars that don't have keys. They have a fob. I was going to say fab, but I knew that wasn't it. It's a fob. Yeah, you should see my Neanderthal father use that on his new truck. Look at this. Hey, Ren, come over here. Look at it, I don't even need a key. And then he says, I still do this, but there's no gear selector. It's just a dial now. Yeah, you know. Now, I'm not being cruel to my father when I say that. Okay, if he was here, I would be saying the same thing. So I don't want you to feel like you have to send him a personal note. And I'm exaggerating. It's just that, you know, you remember, I've told this before, he was the guy that when he'd go to the dealership and when he bought something new, you know, and it's not that he was cheap. He'd pay, you know, good money for a vehicle, nothing extravagant, nothing fancy. But this is the guy who said, no, I don't want a radio in it. I don't want to pay for that radio. No, you don't understand. It comes with AM. Well, yeah, but I don't want that. I don't want to pay for that. You can't get it without that, you know. So he finally buckled, you know what I mean? So, you know, now he's driving a newer Dodge truck that everything's electronic and digital. But anyhow, you ever lost one of these keys? You got to keep track of the key. The vehicle will do me no good without the key. I mean, many of you remember that when you had a vehicle that you could use growing up and you did something less than smart, according to your parents, and they took the keys. And you notice how they always left that vehicle at home and didn't use it? So you could sit there and stand there and walk past it and look at it. Really kind of turn the knife because you didn't have the key and it can't do you much without the key. You ever lose a key? How many of you lost a key? Lost the key? Momentarily, maybe not permanently. Some of you are raising your hand. Some of you are like, lose a key. Who loses a key? Careful. It could be your day. Don't go calling me when it's lost either. Yeah, I've misplaced them. It's amazing when your hands are full and you're walking through and you're trying to get doors and do everything else and you decide, well, I've got to make another trip. I'm just going to set it here temporarily. Right? And you put it in a place that you don't normally place it. Okay? And then you're on with your day and busy and then you go, I got to go. You do this. In my house, it goes like this. Hey, Sue. That's my wife. Hey, Sue, have you seen my keys? No. You sure? Where'd you leave them last? Like, okay, if I knew that, I wouldn't, you know, you don't want to say that. Well, where were you? I've been all over the house, outside. I mean, I've been everywhere. I had to be one of the kids. So you start ripping through their names. Excuse me. By the way, thanks for being patient with me. If you don't like my voice this morning, this is not my normal voice. This is much nicer. So... And you start backtracking. Where was I? Where did I go? You're back walking around the car knowing that you know it's not on the ground outside the car. Isn't it amazing that you look all the places you think to look that the key could possibly be, and then you start to get such desperation that you actually talk yourself into looking places you know the key really is not going to be. I mean, it's true. It is true, at least for me. I mean, I talk myself into looking into luggage that we've not touched for weeks, and yet I used the vehicle 4 hours ago. I mean, I know it's not here. Why am I looking at it? Then you're talking to yourself. Why am I looking here? It is not here. I know it's not here. And you look in there, and lo and behold, it's not there. Which jacket was I wearing? Well, I wore a couple of them. So you start going through all the pockets. It's true. I mean, I'm unzipping inner pockets. I'm thinking, what pocket didn't I check? Okay, well, I changed my jeans. Is it in the other jeans? You start frisking the dog. I've done it. I'll tell you how insane I've got. And I don't lose my keys a lot, but I've gotten this insane. I've seen a squirrel hopping across the backyard to the tree. I have run to the window and I have looked at his mouth. Hey, something shiny. I'm not making this up. I have done that. I thought, did I leave him on the barbecue and this stupid squirrel? If he's got him, he's supper. Honest, I have looked. And you look everywhere and you start turning stuff upside down. You're driving yourself crazy looking where you know the key isn't. Obviously, I found the key, by the way. We got to keep track of the keys. Because this is to a significant part of my life. Not the car itself. It's just that it transports me. It gets me from place A to B. And it's not always just about, you know, goofing off. It's about appointments. It's about people. It's about what's needed. It's about things we have to purchase to run our, you know, operate our home and go and get. And all of these things that affect our life. I got to keep track of the key. I want to read you something in Matthew chapter 16. Verse 13. Matthew 16. Now, if you don't have a Bible, there's some in the pew rack in front of you. And if you're here today and you don't have your own Bible, you don't own one, I want you to take that Bible not only and follow along now, but when this service is over, I want you to take that Bible with you. I want you to know it's a gift to you. You can keep it. It's yours. You can open the cover and write your name in it. It's a gift to you. If you don't have a Bible, we want you to have one. So Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' And Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ. Thou art the Christ.'" In other words, you're the Messiah. You are the Son of God. You are the one that, you know, we have been calling out to and hoping that a Savior would come. You are the one that they prophesied about. Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." In other words, you didn't figure this out on your own human reason. "But it has been revealed to you by my Father who is in heaven." That's the beauty of another confirmation of what Paul writes later about the Spirit of God reveals to us the mind of God. And so here the Spirit of the Lord is quickening Peter and giving him an understanding and a revelation. Just like those of you in this place who have come to put faith in Christ, your mind may have been engaged. You feel like it's been part of your decision. But the basis of that revelation of faith that has come to you has been sent by God, by His Spirit to you. And by His Spirit to all of us, where we can choose to say yes or no. And Peter here declares it, says yes, comes into agreement with what's been revealed to him by the Spirit of the Father. And he says, Jesus, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, I tell you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And you know, some time ago I taught on this passage, and we know that the context, and I'm not going to go into and redo that message, but the context of this binding and loosening was all in the context of prayer. And so I'm not going to take time to explain all that this morning. But he says, I'm going to give you keys. Keys to the kingdom. Key to the kingdom. We know that keys are about locking and unlocking, about freeing and about binding, about loosening, about keeping contained. And here he says, I give you the keys. Give you the keys of the kingdom. That this key that I leave you, we know it's not a physical key, but the imagery is there that Jesus is talking about, that through this key I give you, you can bind things and you can loosen things. That this is the key of the kingdom that allows you to operate within the kingdom and within kingdom principles. It's not just about what we want to loose and what we want to bind. It's based upon the kingdom and the nature of Christ and the kingdom principles that we learn, that this key operates within the kingdom guidelines, within the kingdom parameters. And of course, His kingdom knows no bounds, but His kingdom is based upon the principles and the nature and the very virtue of who God is. That within that, these keys, the key, there's a power and a significance. I want you and I to keep track of the key of the kingdom that He's given you. We got to keep track of it. You know, there have been times, out of convenience, like I said, where I will say, walking with my key, just came out, going through the garage, and I know something's got to be moved or changed. Do I want to go in and change my clothes and do all of that and take my key in and everything else and then come out here and do all that? No, I just want to go, no, I'm going to take care of it now. That's why I've wrecked many suit coats and dress pants. That's why I've resorted to blue jeans. Because I'm doing tasks that require different clothes, and I didn't want to go in and do anything about it. And you do it, and you turn around, and you forget this. There are times I've walked in and gone, I need to do that. You know what? Excuse me. I'm going to take the extra minute, and I walk into the house, and I take time to go put this where it belongs first. It only takes a few seconds, another minute. Keeping track of the key, because this key is really important to me. And I go in and I put it where I leave it. Okay? I'm not going to tell you where that is because some of you are going to break into my house. I'm kidding you. I'll tell you where I used to leave my keys. Many, many years ago, I used to go in and I used to always put them on top of the fridge. Just on top of the fridge. Then I learned that that really aggravated my wife. So then years later, I decided not to do it. I mean, if it's her only aggravation about me, what's the big deal? It's not her only aggravation about me. You know, that's, you know, no decorations go there. Don't put stuff up, you know, anyhow. So that's not where I keep them anymore. But take time to go put this so that when I need it and I got to go, I'm not late. I'm not going through the house going, where's my keys? Where's that key? Sue, where'd you put it? How many of you have been convinced that you've set something somewhere? And it's not there. And you are aggravated with the people you live with because you know somebody moved it. And then later you found out, oh yeah, it's in my pocket. Come on, those of you with glasses. Hey, where'd I put my glasses? Ever done it? Where's my glasses? They're on your head or your face? Listen, we got to keep track of this. I do not want to be caught in life in a situation where the keys of the kingdom are required. And because I have not managed them and kept track of the keys, the kingdom does not advance. That something that should be locked up is loose, and it's running loose in my life or someone else's. Or coming across something in my life or someone else's that should be loosed. And because I have not kept track of the kingdom keys, I cannot bring freedom. Managing and caring, being conscientious, taking time, even when it's inconvenient, to keep track of the keys of the kingdom. Keeping track of one of the keys, like intimacy with the Lord. Being in the locker room with Him, and maybe for you, intimacy is, you know, sitting in a flower garden with Him. Whatever it is, that's up to you. To me, a locker room smells the same as a flower garden. Well, not physically, but in my mind, it brings back the beauty of the locker rooms I've been in and the players I've been with and the things we've experienced, victory and defeat, pain, joy. Maintaining, keeping track of what's important. I can't just check in and check out with the Lord and then run into a real problem and say, well, gee, let me just whip out that key. See, maintaining and keeping the track of the keys of the kingdom have to do with the daily awareness of the one who's given you the key. The king is not going to give keys to the ones he cannot trust. And so do I live a life by his grace, mercy, and his help, because I can't do it without him, but a life that is somehow in the realm through the blood of Christ worthy to carry and be a key holder to the kingdom. Not for flaunting, not for identifying who I am to everybody for the sake of my reputation. No, because see, it's not about the keychain. It's about the key. It's about what the purpose it serves and the responsibility of the holder. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I give you the keys to the kingdom so that the gospel will not be prevented in your life and through your life. For the sake that on that day, that great banquet, his house will be full. For the saving of many. You and I are key holders. You have faith in Christ, you're a key holder. Keep track of the key.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.